why my meeting doesn't show the stuff on the web I'm supposed to see. Okay. Okay, I guess I'll see like this. Okay, cool. So, let's begin with somebody, Tamara wants to get in and she says, I wasn't able to get in tonight for some reason. Let's see. Anne, are you there?
Yes,
If you can message, if you can message Tamara from the Facebook, you know how in that group?
Okay, I'll have to get Facebook, sure.
And just keep an eye on her, see if she you can help her get in some way. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be great. I did text her all the information. I don't know what's going on with her. All right, cool. So I'm going to start with this week's little passage from the Zohar. And this week's energy, both astrologically and Kabbalistically, energetically, is all about the big picture. It's about tapping into the bigger picture of who we are and having a chance at seeing that bigger picture so that we can begin to how would you say it? So we can begin to use that big picture for the entire coming year after that. So sometimes it's really interesting because when we try to get into the big picture of something, sometimes it becomes like, because there's always two elements. There's like tapping into the bigger picture, and then there's manifesting it in detail and making it practical in behavior. So it's kind of easy this month to get really into the bigger picture and kind of like become impractical, right? But it's important to know that it's also normal because the energy of the universe is offering like super big amounts of dreams and visions to the point that it becomes overstimulating and overwhelming sometimes. So just knowing that could be relieving of what kind of energy we're actually dealing with. Specifically this week talking, we have a powerful change in the planetary system where the besides the Sun being in Sagittarius, Jupiter has moved into Leo, which is going to stay there for a long time. And so we've said before that the stars don't compel, right? But the stars do impel. So what that means is that we're not forced to, get stuck with the energy of the stars because we say Ein Mazal b'Yisrael, meaning someone who's responsible to someone who wants to go beyond the elements, they can. But so we're not compelled, but they do impel. That means we could use the energy, the ride that the ocean provides with that wave, and surf on it and leverage it and utilize it to our benefit. So this is the reason that you find me always tapping into the energy of the week. It's not so much about getting limited by it in any way. It's more about how can we ride it to shift the direction of life to our favor. So I'm going to read a passage from the Zohar, and after I do that reading, give a little quick short interpretation and then open the floor for interaction. Okay, so this week's energy is called Miketz, meaning seeing something from the end backwards. In other words, if you were to zoom forward to the end of something and then see it from there, everything from that perspective will give you all the answers about how the now and the past should unravel itself to meet your goals. So it's very linked to the idea of maybe the law of attraction, but from a very higher energy vibration force field. So the word is miketz, meaning seeing it from the end. right? And I'm going to read from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who's the author of the Zohar, while he was down in this cave for 13 years downloading powerful teachings. And he says, Vayhi miketz, Rabbi Chiya patach va'amar, ketz sham lachoshech ulechol tachlit hu choker even ofel v'tzalmavet. Haikra itmar, ketz sham sam lachoshech, da ihu ketz desmala, de ihu sat be'alma v'sat le'ela. V'kaima kamek chibrichu, v'aste v'katrig al-alma v'ha itmar, ולכל תכלית הוא חוקר, דהכל עובדי לאו אינו לטב, אלא לשיצב על תדיר ולמעבד כליה בעלמה. אבן אופל וצלמוות, דה אבן נגב, דבר כשלין חייבים וקיימים, והיידה יקרי ארץ אפתה כמו אופל. תחזי, כמה אית לא נבנינה שלהסתכלה בפולחן הדקות שברכו, ולהשתדלה באורייתה, יממה ולילה, בין בינדון, והסתכלון בפולחני, דהאורייתא איהו מכריז בכל יום הקמא דבר נש ואמרה מי פתי יסור הנה חסר לב ואמרה לו והאוקמינא מילי. So just connecting with the Aramaic language, we're subconsciously and consciously bypassing the negative influences that are available in our environment because we tap into the energy force of the higher realm, which is called Zir Anpin, which means like that revelation of the higher self. So that's why I always read it in Hebrew, even though I could just skip that part and go and just get it right into the meaning of what does it mean for us. So this speaks, the portion, the whole energy is talking about how the entire universe is in a war with an illusion that does not even exist. So it's talking about how all the nations in the world and all the religions in the world and all the countries and politics, unconsciously they think that they're actually fighting against each other when it comes to wars and problems and chaos and lack of, you know, necessities and all of those things. But at the deepest core level, what's really happening is the opponent, so to speak, or that force that the Creator has put into the universe to challenge us, is underneath it all creating this chaos so that we can overcome the chaos and see the unity underneath the chaos and to go beyond the blame of this nation or that person or that religion and to actually see the underneath the forces that are running this thing, which is actually not us human beings, but the injection of thoughts coming from the opponent that the Creator actually has put on earth for us to be challenged by. So the opponents is the key for today. And the Zohar is telling us to tap into that idea so that you can come out of reactive consciousness. We must learn to detach ourselves from thinking that that person did this to me, that job fired me, that religion did this, that country, that politics. And we have to learn to actually realize that there is no that, because perception is projection, and what we see out there is only a reality of our own projection, and it's only a metaphor to teach us the lesson of how to first and foremost recognize our opponent, and then how to use the force of the inner darkness that we have towards our own benefit and leverage it to our own advantage. Okay, cool. So that's a little bit about this week's energy, and I'm going to now open the floor. Let's see who's on the call with us. I know we have Anne with us. We have Julie. Who's with the 520 phone number?
That's me, Tamara.
Tamara?
Yes.
Okay, great. Tamara, you were able to get on? Perfect.
Awesome. Yes.
Very excited to have you. Good. So let's begin with Julie. Julie, would you please go ahead and tell us a little bit? We're going to go through that sheet we always do every week of the consciousness. So I would like you to start off with a celebration of success this week, or the past week, no matter how small, and then a vulnerable moment, and then the intention for your week.
Okay. Let's see. Excuse me. I'd say my celebration would be that my son did an amazing job this week. He had solos in both his chorus concert and his band concert out of a school of like hundreds of kids. He was the one chosen to kind of perform in both of those concerts. And so it just made me feel so like amazing and proud of him that he was selected and he did an amazing job. So that was
great. Oh, wow. Congratulations.
For me. Thank you. And I think, I mean, and that's more just like on a feeling of excitement, but in terms of me with my process and whatnot, I'd say I've been doing a lot, I've been a lot more relaxed about things, so I've been really sort of letting go and kind of not resisting. I'm noticing the less I resist, and I know that phrase, the more you resist persists. So I have been really not reacting as much, not resisting as much. And I've noticed shifts in my relationship and things like that. So that's been pretty good. Vulnerable.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of... I think the only vulnerable, my vulnerable moment would be more so that it's Hanukkah. And I've been a little pressured with the gifts and getting gifts for the kids. And, I mean, I guess on the one hand, I've been able to come up with a solution to make it happen. I always do. But it hasn't been 100% like easy or, you know, without worry or stress or a little bit over it in terms of buying them things that I would normally want to. So that's been a little bit making me feel like a little guilty, like, that I should be able to do this, and why am I still struggling with it? So that's kind of where I'm still at with that. And my intention is to bring in a large sum of money.
Okay. Can you make that more clear and specific?
Like we talked about?
Yeah, just like give it a little, yeah, practical.
Yeah. I'd say I would like to be bringing in $10,000 a month, like whatever way it's going to happen, and I want it to start happening every month.
Okay. All right. So $10,000 a month every month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. So, and let's see, what's one act of self-care that you'd like to commit to yourself for this week?
I think just taking more time for myself to relax.
Taking more time for relax. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is part of the letting go again. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So we're going to send you a kiss and a whoosh. Are you ready for it?
Sure.
All right. Everybody, let's go ahead and do that. 1, 2, 3, kiss. And whoosh. Awesome. All right, go ahead and please select the next person for the share.
Tamara.
Okay. What I've noticed this week is starting this course and some of the hypnosis webinars, I'm starting to see the good side to the negative. And it has opened many doors for me. And it's helped me to realize a lot of my emotional battles. And I'm just in awe how things are progressing. I got a job interview, but if I don't have the job, that's fine with me. But I'm still looking at the positive aspects. That's what has been happening with me. And I'm really happy. I'm truly seeing what is more important? What I need to work on is keeping that visual constant. That's what I want to work on.
Awesome. So you want to work on, first of all, I want to acknowledge you for like jumping in and having the courage. And more importantly, so you want to work on like keeping that that visual of staying focused on the goodness that's coming and continue to produce more constant. Is that what you're saying?
To acknowledge it instead of always looking at looking at the downside. Even if I get bad news, there's always good news somewhere. I need to focus more on that. And I'm starting to see that.
Okay. Awesome. That's really awesome. I love hearing that. So did you want to share anything else, or are you ready for your kiss and whoosh?
I really don't have anything else to share, only that, you know, I'm just excited to start seeing things in a new light. And I think that is where I need to be and to continue doing so.
Okay. And what's your one act of self-care that you would like to commit to for this week?
Staying focused on the positive.
Okay. And if you can make it a little bit more behavioral, like it would be something like, you know, I'm going to, take a shower whenever I get tense. I don't know. I'm just throwing something, like something more practical.
Probably just shut down and kind of do a quick meditation and just let everything flow like it should.
Okay. Awesome. Quick meditation, let everything flow. All right. A kiss and a whoosh for Tamara. 1, 2, 3. Whoosh. Awesome. Okay, Tamara, you can go ahead and select the next person. We have Anne here for you, if you like. And I think that would be the most logical way to go.
Of course, Anne.
Thank you. This is hard this week.
Would you like to start with the vulnerability first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most vulnerable moment. Oh, God. Sorry. Most vulnerable moment was Monday when the woman that I'm personal assistant for decided to take off at 3 a.m. And I have to talk soft because there are other people in the house. Anyway, she right now is probably in Mexico, and she left us with no food, no money for food, and a bunch of overdue bills.
Mm.
Yeah, heavy stuff. So the good, you know, I guess a celebration would be that I contacted the local church and they helped us with enough food that we will have a turkey for Thanksgiving. Or not Thanksgiving, I mean Christmas. But yeah, it's been a hard time. So we found out late Sunday night that she was leaving early Monday morning. And now we're just trying to figure out how to move forward. And I have been starting to pack because I realize that I don't know if the window or door is open, but I think the universe is trying to give me a shove anyway.
And so if you were to celebrate your success, no matter how small, what would that be for this week?
My personal success?
Yeah.
Wow. That's hard.
If somebody else was in your shoes going through the same things, what would they have done? And what have you done? Because I know you've done some really brave acts this week.
Well, getting up each morning and deciding that it's time to start packing my things and try to find a way to move forward somehow.
That is very brave.
Thank you. It's scary as heck.
I mean, I know some people. I knew some people that would just, you know, I knew some people that would just go into that corner and start, you know, getting stuck and depressed and not come out. And
you're still staying active
and doing your thing.
I started to do that. You know, every so often I'll just stop and cry. And but I guess the good thing is I pick myself up and get going again. But yeah, I have broken down quite a few times and had to try to pull it together.
Yeah. I mean, you know, having the emotions and being vulnerable and breaking down, those are all normal in the situation you're going through. And yet you're still finding the strength to be on this call and talk about it. So I just want to acknowledge that. That's really powerful.
Thank you, because that was hard too. But I thought, well, if I can help somebody else, and I know it'll help me, but that's why I'm here. So because of all you guys. But cool. It was very difficult. I'm exhausted. I don't know, for probably the past 4 nights or so, I've only been getting 3 hours of sleep, and it hasn't been good, solid sleep. It's up and down. So,
Yeah, this is a very challenging time.
My intention is to have the abundance to move forward somehow, and you know. Trying to work on that. I'm still doing my writing. I'm still trying to write scripts to record. And one of the people here has an idea for something that may hopefully bring in some money. And I'm very thankful for my friends, because I have friends that are trying to help me out too.
Awesome. What's your one act of self-care that you want to commit to, regardless of how difficult it's been?
To do some sort of energy work on myself each day.
Okay. Awesome. All right, are you ready for your kiss and wish?
Yes.
Okay. All right, everybody, we're going to give her a super kiss and a wish because she could really use this right now. So, Tamara, Julie, everybody else, let's do this. 1, 2, 3, a kiss and a super whoosh. Whoosh.
Thank you.
I have some candles lit right here, so we definitely have you in our prayers.
I appreciate that.
I really think that you're very resourceful, and this situation is definitely a calling from the universe that's going to move you into a deeper part of your purpose. And I know it looks very, very, very scary.
Very.
And I can tell you from experience that the scariest moments of my life has always led to the most courageous, biggest changes in my life. So starting from the day when I was 9 years old, and I had to escape through the desert and to come to America, till, you know, a variety of different elements. Or like in fifth grade, arriving to America and like being in fifth grade and not knowing the language, and then being lost in a bus for like a day when I was like 9 years old in America, first day, you know. So it just, you know, all of that led to the strength of me being able to help thousands of people right now. So I know that you're building up really powerful strength right now in your life. And it's coming. This is not just happening to you. It's happening to all of us for the sake of a leadership that you might be unfolding inside you.
I feel that calling. And the more challenging and scary it is here, the stronger I feel that calling. You know, not, I mean, I definitely want to get out of here, but I mean, I feel called to help others that have fear for one reason or another too. You know, not just domestic violence, but things like what I'm going through here. I feel called to do what I can to try to comfort them and let them know that, hey, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So, because I know it's got to be there.
And it was, I want to say, you know, every week I talk about the portions of the energy in the Zohar. And last week's portion was about the story of Joseph and the 12 brothers and the 11, his 11 brothers, where he has these dreams and he of greatness, and then he interprets it, and brothers get jealous, and they sell him to the merchants, and then he ends up in Egypt. And in Egypt, the wife of the Pharaoh likes him, and then again causes him problems, and then he ends up in jail, and he's in jail for a couple of years. And at some point, because of his powerful dream interpretation skills and the help he gives to the two people that were the servants of the king, he ended up drawing the attention of the Pharaoh in Egypt. And then through that good deed that he does as he interprets those dreams, he actually gets freed up from jail. But the interesting thing is he doesn't just become free. He becomes immediately, within like literally a week, he becomes the second most powerful person in all of Egypt, right? Mm. So it wasn't just like he went from, you know, he just came out of jail. It was just like, so there's a beautiful saying the Zohar says, Yeshuat Hashem keheref ayin, meaning the salvation that comes from the universe is as fast as blink of the eye. Because the potential of the shift is so apparent and so dominant and so visible, so waiting to pop out, that when it does manifest, it's just 1 second, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the process before it manifests. But once it manifests, it's 1 second. It's just like the sun when it comes up in the morning. It's night and it's dark, and then in literally like a few seconds, all of a sudden there's like a big revelation of the sun, and it goes from like being like 90% dark to all of a sudden, you know, 90% light, 100, and then like right away it becomes, you know, a little bit after that, then you have 100% light. So it's really, really important for you to keep in mind that this is your learning ground to be leading and helping the universe, and that your shift and your salvation and your movement is right this moment, right now.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you realize that this actual process you're going through is your salvation, at that moment you've gained your next level of salvation. And I know it's difficult, and I know there's sleepless nights, and I know there's terror, and I know all of your abandonments are coming up, and I know that it attacks you at the most core level of what's going to happen in the future, and you really have no one else to trust but God right now, and it brings up all of those fight or flight sensations.
Yeah. Well, I trust all of you guys.
And we are here for you, and even us, we're mortals and humans, right?
Right.
So ultimately, you know, we're all tools in the hands of the Creator. And this is really one of those things that helping you build your trust right now. And you're doing a good job. And as difficult as it is.
Thank you.
I'd like to open the floor to like Tamara and Julie to maybe offer some words of like connection, inspiration, or just acknowledgement or soothing.
Anne, I think you have accomplished so far by just getting a Christmas dinner for you and whoever you're celebrating with. That is an accomplishment.
Thank you.
To see that. And the more and more that you keep seeing that, the more and more things will follow for you.
Right. Thank you. I try to be grateful every day, and and I thank God and I thank the universe every day for the things that I have. I try not to, not to give any energy to the negative, just the positive. So thank you for that.
Be thankful for yourself. You have done a lot, and you're still doing more.
Thank you.
Anna, I wanted to also send some wishes of encouragement. I know that that darkness and that demon sort of is kind of popping its head right now, but through listening to you in the past and hearing the moments when you've been really proud of yourself for all the writing and for the hypnosis that you've been doing,
mm-hmm.
I think, we lose sight of the things that we, when we're in that good state of mind, that we think are so amazing. And then the minute something kind of pulls us back down, we start to focus only on the things that are sort of pulling us down instead of the things that we were, that we were so excited about. So just wanted to kind of mention that in the past, I know that you were really doing amazing with all of your accomplishments. And I know you were super proud of yourself at the time as well. So kind of just wanted to point that out and kind of put that on your list of reminders, so to speak. And just know that it will get better.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm very thankful for the things that I've accomplished, and I know I'll get back there again. This is just a rough spot, a bump in the road, but it's a hard one. But thank you. I appreciate that. And
sure, and then one other point that I've been learning to do is what am I to learn from this? That
mm-hmm.
kind of sometimes just makes me think about it and say, there's always a lesson that's in it that I have to sort of ponder over.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm definitely looking at that too. And me moving, it's been coming for a long time that I needed to do it. And, but the, where am I going to go hasn't been there yet. And I'm still waiting for that. But it's to the point now that I have to do something one way or another. And I don't know where I'm going to go. There are four of us here besides the one that took off. And one is a doctor and his wife, and then the other one is the guy that he was here, he lives here, he worked on our computers. And none of us know what we're going to do, but all of us realize that we need to pack our things and get them out of here and then get us out of here. 'Cause I don't know what's going to happen with her, but us being here, you know, it just, everything we have, we could lose. So I appreciate that. I try to look at the positive every day. I try to see, you know, at least one thing positive. I'm thankful that we have food, and I'm thankful that I'm healthy, and because the flu is going around right now, and I'm very glad to not have that. And most of all, I'm very thankful for all of my friends, including you guys.
This is great. I love this. I love the way you guys are all carrying each other. This is so, so inspiring to me and so powerful, because it's this community right here. You know, it takes two people to build a community. Did you guys know that? So it's like we have more than that right now. So, Sonia just texted me. She was supposed to be on a call. It was her first night tonight. But she said that she had so much pain that she couldn't get out of it, and she had to go to her rheumatologist. This is her beginning of getting familiar with the program that we have. So I told her right now that all of us will send her some distant healing and some love. So keep Sonia in your minds as we're doing all this. So this brings me to a very, very important, important law of the universe, which I would like to actually maybe use as the title for this whole call when you listen to the recording again, for those of you who want to listen to it. It's the law of what we call in the 42 laws, which have 10 root laws, the seven, you know, the one that I passed out for you guys. Which has like the seven major governing universal laws that support the 42. So that one is the one I want to discuss tonight, is the zone 6 called Chochma. And Chochma literally means wisdom, but
hello?
On just the word wisdom. So the universal law of Chachma, which translates to wisdom, it says that if you have the wisdom to learn your lessons through love, and you can mitigate your suffering, and if you could begin to see with wisdom your karmic lessons, you will erase your karma. So that's the law of Chachma, wisdom. So what happens is, sadly, I mean, this is really is sad, and I'm talking to myself and all of us because of just the human nature. We seem to learn the fastest through pain, right? Through directly experiencing the consequences of our actions. So instead of learning through wisdom and love, right, sometimes we learn through, a lot of times we learn through pain, because it's the most tangible thing that like pokes us and like a needle, right? So with the law of wisdom, we can actually begin to erase karma, right? And the way to begin to erase karma is to actually, first and foremost, to realize that we are not always seeing the wisdom. That's the first stage, that we don't know. You don't know what you don't know. That's the first stage. The second stage is the realization that we are in a very limited capacity of what we can truly see, because we are experiencing only one aspect of the transmigration of our soul in this particular lifetime. So the whole puzzle is so big that pain, pain, basically the definition of pain is not seeing the whole picture, right? It immediately creates pain, right? So a good example for that would be like, let's see, there was imagine a child that looks at a TV screen and tries to catch the people in the screen, right? And the child thinks that, like, that's the source at the beginning, like, tries to catch it with their hands, you know? And then, you know, as an adult, you know that the source is not here. This is just a reflection or a projection of what's coming from another root cause, another root place, right? So that bigger, you know, studio that has all these channels and broadcasting, right? If we can get into that studio, then we can see where all the visuals and all the scenes that are running in the universe is coming from. And so, Anne, you are... Can you hear me, Anne, here?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, you are going through this because all of us, including you, need to experience this together with you for us to draw a very powerful lesson together. And so the first thing I would like to point out is here's a good way of knowing something. Whatever you're going through in this lifetime, you've probably not resolved in another lifetime or another karmic situation. If we don't want to call it a lifetime, we can call it the journey of your soul, right?
Right.
There's some powerful, do you mind if I talk directly with you?
No, I don't mind.
There's some powerful attachments, right, being carried over from previous situations, right? Powerful attachments and security, attaching yourself to trying to get security from places that don't provide true security, right?
Right.
It's and you know the best person to fail us is mortal man, right? Because you trust in someone that cannot be fully trusted because we're mortal. We're men. We're women. We're human, right? Human.
Right. Uh-huh.
Totally flawed in terms of what we're capable of in this universe. And I'll never forget that day when my teacher said to me, I just want you to know one thing. And I'm like, what are you going to do? What are you going to tell me? Like, the one thing I want you to guarantee for sure. I'm like, what's he going to guarantee me right now? I will fail you. That's what he said. I was like, oh, great. I was in like the lowest, darkest moment of my life, and that's what he tells me, right? So, you know, and that's what happened to Joseph in jail, is that at the beginning he started to put his trust in these two interpreters, these two dream people that he interpreted their dreams. And he said, do me a favor, when you go out there, ask the Pharaoh, tell him I am not guilty, get me out of this jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately after he had that request, his jail time went from 2 years to like 7 years.
Huh.
And all of the powerful commentators in the Zohar and Kabbalah and the learnings of this particular scene, because especially Joseph was a cancer sign too, and he was the chariot for what we call Yesod, which is the sacral navel, really like healing that aspect, and for abundance. So the Zohar asks, why is it that as soon as he asked that question, his jail time went up by like 5 years, right? And the answer is pretty simple, because he put a certainty and his belief in a man and a mortal person. And so he had to learn the lessons, the longer lessons in that jail until he can get out. And he was so appreciative of it too. He's like, oh, well, maybe I need more time to learn this, because he understood that when he gets out, you know, he was going to be something big out there. So are we still connected? I don't know. I don't hear
yes.
you.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
I can still hear you.
Can you hear me, everybody? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Tamara, are you still there?
Yes. Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, cool. So sometimes, you know, it pays to actually pay attention to the idea that something really big is happening. You know, something really much bigger than me and you, and it's happening. So that's the law of wisdom that erases karma. Now, here's another blockage that gets in the way of wisdom. So, first of all, karma and wisdom can be experienced through grace. And that's the law of chesed, which is zone 5. But we're not fully going into that, but I just want to put that in here because I think it's important to understand at the same place, that whatever judgments are upon a person in terms of their karmic debt, and whether it's something they have to shift or tikkun, their correction, whatever it is you got to do, they can all be experienced through mercy or grace by the law of chesed, which says that the Creator has made it in a way that any of the unresourceful deeds that we might have created in the past, they don't have to come at us at a, you know, shocking wham experience type of thing. They could come to us in minor little inconveniences or discomforts that we can resolve, and we can turn it around into a positive spin just by simply being aware of the rod and stick of the Creator that's coming at us. So the hint... rod and stick comforts me, right? So many of the... a lot of people that read this, like, they ask this question, like, why would the King David ask, thank the Creator and say, your rod and stick comforts me? I mean, like, if you have someone that's kind of like tapping you with their rod or a piece of wood and the stick, and they're kind of hitting you with it, right? Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be so comforting. It would actually hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the powerful part of what King David is saying in the Book of Psalms, and the stick is tapping me, from there I know that the Creator is hiding right behind it. So I know you're there, right? The discomfort that you're giving me, I know you're there, because if you didn't love me, you wouldn't even interact with me anymore, right?
Right.
So sometimes, you know, if you with children, like, you know, the child that you care about the most so much, sometimes you actually unconsciously give them a hard time, you know? You, like, go and say, oh, I want you to do it like this. Why don't you do your homework better? Get an A, do that. You know, it's a sign of love, but sometimes you end up really, like, focusing on that person, right, because you care. If you don't care about someone, you don't even, like, call them anymore. You don't go around them anymore. You don't interact with them anymore. You just kind of, like, put them in a whole different silent retreat or a whole different space. So the Creator's rod and stick, even though it comes to us in the form of our interpretation that it looks like judgment, is really love. And we're trying to open up to be able to allow that to come in, which brings us to the idea of the issue with illusion, the illusion of time and space and motion, right? So here's what happens. For every action, there's a equal and opposite reaction. Right, so if I go ahead and do a good deed right now, even though the good deed itself is the reward because I got the pleasure of doing it, but it also sets a powerful domino effect in the universe, and it always comes back at me, right? Sometimes in the moments where I least expect it. And then the same thing is with unresourceful or negative deeds. So the interesting thing about the universe is that it's very hard sometimes to actually realize that when you did a good deed, you got rewarded. Why? Because here's what happens. Let's say Julie does a great, great deed today, right? Somebody's in need and stands up for her, goes out of comfort zone, helps her, right? Then, let's say this good deed that Julie did, in 3 months, something happens where Julie needs something, and a great miracle happens and she actually gets her needs met. And it's because she did this good deed like 3 months ago. Let's just say, right? It's like, imagine like the energy that she put out and she's coming back to her, right? Now let's say also that Julie did something negative, right? And then 3 months later, that negative is, or 3.5 months later, that negative is arriving, right? Like the bounce back, right? So what happens is, in 3 months, as Julie's about to do this awesome, amazing thing, right, for someone else, right? It's a whole different scenario that she's doing. All of a sudden, as soon as she finishes and does this great thing and is like, oh, I'm so happy I did this amazing, wonderful, positive act, all of a sudden something negative, some consequence arrives, right? So then you're like, I just did this wonderful, amazing deed, and look what happened the next day. I got this humongous $500 ticket on the freeway, right? So at that point, what happens to the subconscious is like, I did a positive, and I just got a negative reward, right? Is everyone with me on this so far?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You guys get this, how it's such an illusion? So because time is not linear, we think, and it doesn't, the rewards for our good deeds doesn't arrive exactly at the same time as the negative deeds. So you can get really misled into thinking every time I do good things, look, bad things happen. And every time I do bad things, look, good things happen. Right? But the energy that's being bounced around has a certain sequence of timing that we can't always predict and understand how it's coming at us. So it's really important to develop that powerful certainty in goodness and know that it's always reaping good benefits. Just the timing is hard to tell, and we don't know what's for what immediately. And this is one of the main differences between people who have true certainty in the laws of the Creator and the laws of the universe versus those who kind of get veered aside all day long, a little bit moved this way. As soon as something happens, then, you know, they can move their principles all the way and they could be gone, right? And this is why I hold on so powerfully to these ancient teachings with sources that go back 3,000 years to 5,000 years to like time of creation, because there's so many teachings out there and they're beautiful, but they come and go. You know, it's like, you know, they teach something and then next year it's more popular to teach it in a different way, and then it changes. You actually change the principle, right? And if you can keep changing the principle and the formula, that means that it's not godly anymore. It's not deeply spiritual anymore, right? So I'm so into this idea of like really sticking with the principles of how the formula really works and not to change the formula. Now, sometimes people try to change the formula and they actually get results too, right? So this is another cool thing to pay attention to, is that there's a, Zohar says, this thing actually moves me a lot. Zohar says, if you take a horse, right, or one other animal, you get a mule if they mate together. Wait, do you guys know which one that is? Do you know which two animals, if you pair them together, you get a mule?
No.
I know. What is it? I know it's one of the. I know it's like a donkey and a horse, or a donkey and some other type of not exactly the same as the donkey, right? So if you pair these two together, they actually bear a child, right? Mm-hmm. But there's one problem: the child can't have a child. The child of that pairing will not have. There won't be a third generation. It will just be a second generation. It ends, right? So the Zohar says something really powerful. It says that if you try to not live by the basic laws of the universe and change them around, sometimes you get some immediate high or result, but it doesn't give birth to a true shift and transformation. So don't get fooled by the fact that just you got a little quick result or a quick high that it actually worked. It's like those two animals, the donkey and the horse, that you pair together. It gives birth to a mule, but the mule can't have another child. It's like it stops right there, right? It doesn't grow further forever, right? So that's the idea of just understanding why I'm like taking the time to really set down the principles and to record them for you guys to listen to it again and again. Because once we get the principles down and they become so strong in us with full certainty, we can behave from a whole different place, come from a whole different place, look at the universe from a different place, and guide others from a different place, and our certainty will actually impact other people. Okay, so we are running out of time, so I'd like to take the next maybe minute or two for shares and connections with other people, or maybe a lesson that you learned or something that stood out for you from tonight, and then we'll end the night with a beautiful quote. Let's open the floor. I will call upon someone. I think it's the best, right? I'm going to call on Tamara.
Well, here's something that I learned before from someone else, is breaking the karma that you were talking about.
Perfect.
For instance, my soon-to-be ex had picked me up at the airport, and he had hit the curb pretty hard. And I was upset about that. And then only to wake up in the morning to find out that the tire was flat. But instead of getting mad about the flat tire, I got to thinking, well, this wasn't done deliberate. The tire went flat because there's actually something wrong with the tire, and maybe what happened the previous night was actually meant for a reason. And when I stopped and thought about not getting mad and understanding that something is at work here, I went and got the tire fixed and didn't have to spend so much money on tires. And so basically breaking that karma. But when we focus on the negative so much, you're continuing the karma.
So when you focus so much on the negative, you're continuing the karma. Like you're giving it life.
You're giving it life, yes.
That's an amazing way of saying it. You focus so much on the negative, you're giving it life.
Yes.
Or you're giving life to the karma of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Awesome. That's really good. That's a really good teaching. I'm going to let that sip into my soul. Well, you get to select the next person for a share.
Okay, Julie.
Okay. Julie, teach us something.
Well, I liked what you said, just in that it was funny how you chose me to give the example of doing something for others, because I am part of the Big Brother, Big Sister program, and I have a little in my that comes to my office every 2 weeks, and it's been great because it benefits me as much as it benefits her. And I love the fact that, like, I'm able to give back and help out because she doesn't even have a winter jacket right now, for instance. And I was able to raise the money to get her a winter jacket as well as create a drive in my office to get coats for her whole school or get as many coats as we can get for the kids in her school because I realized and noticed that people didn't have them that were coming into my office. So I was pretty excited about being able to just kind of do that. And whatever karmically comes about after the fact, you know, so be it. But I just know how good every time I do stuff like that, I just feel so, like, grateful and so happy that I'm able to do that. So that was the one thing I learned. And the other thing was that a big part of what I've been learning is just detaching from others and not blaming others for anything that's going on. And that was kind of a big realization that I had to come to in the past, like, year or so. It's just not, you know, anything that was going wrong, I was really easily blaming other people for until I took responsibility for the fact that it definitely was not them. It was something inside of me that was a reflection that was kind of having that experience for me. So that whole idea and concept of your perception and projecting it onto others is really kind of almost more of a reflection for me to see what it is that was going on that I would be blaming someone else for, and looking more within and seeing inside myself what is it that I'm doing or thinking or feeling or whatnot that's causing me to feel resentful or blaming or that kind of thing with others. So I definitely think that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, that is. That's a good place to be at, too, when you kind of open up to that and see it like that. It's like everything becomes more peaceful, you know, less resistance, more sweet surrender movement.
Yeah, I mean, I'm noticing it more and more, the less resistance. Like I think I said at the beginning of the call, it's become something that I'm really more aware of than ever these days, because I'm a tester. I like to test things. And then if I, like, sometimes to my own demise, but I think I've been really noticing what's been happening when I'm not doing what I would normally do, which is react or, you know, kind of resist when something would come up that I wouldn't want to normally give in to, or would think I would be giving in. But now that I feel like I'm not really holding back, I'm just allowing the things to happen and not resisting them. I'm definitely noticing a lot of shifts happening.
Wow, shift happens.
Yeah. There's a book called Shift Happens or something, I think.
Right, right. See, I remember making my Facebook name by that name. My Facebook name says Shift Happens, and my emails used to say Shift Happens. And then one day somebody came up to me and said, did you know there's a book called Shift Happens? I was like, really? I actually went and ordered the book just to see what it's like. I was like, I've been putting this on my subject line for like 8 years, you know?
Yeah, isn't it like Robert Holland or something like that?
I think so. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. It's like a white book, and it had some like quotes and nice talks. I was just like, that's so cool. So I guess we'll complete the night by saying the quote, shift happens. And let's go to Anne, and we'll finalize after her share.
Okay. Well, first I want to thank all of you guys for being there for me. This is a really rough, challenging time, and I appreciate you all very, very much. So,
absolutely.
And tonight I feel a strong connection, as always, to the angelic language that you were speaking, to the Hebrew language. And the energy vibration just seems, I don't know, it seems comfortable. I'm not sure how to describe it, but... it's comfortable, it's comforting, it feels protective. So.
Yeah, I feel it. Feel that too. Well, if that's the case, we're going to read a little bit more. And when I finish with the reading, you guys are signing off for the night. A meeting December 24th at 7 p.m. for the 1 hour. So that's for next week's announcement. It's actually a good time to really, really have a consciousness meeting on that day, because there's so much happening in the world around December 24th, December 25th. There's so much goodness and so much void and hollow at the same time, and there's so much misunderstanding of the times and the energies that I think we can actually shift those energies by getting together for it. So I would like to invite you all to be as present as possible. I'll read another piece from the Zohar. And once again, the consciousness is allowing the words to penetrate to the part of your soul that the conscious mind doesn't really understand. So the less you understand these words, the more your soul is actually getting it. So, because, you know, the other day I was speaking to an Israeli who speaks Hebrew, and he speaks modern Hebrew, so it's different than this ancient language, but he can understand a little bit of the Aramaic, and he's like, well, I can translate this, and I'm like, really? And then he started translating it, and it was really nothing close to what it was really saying, right? And then the thing I realized was that he actually understood less because he understood more logically, right? Because if you understand something in your own terms, the lights went out here. Okay. If you understand something in your own terms, right, with your own logic, then it blocks you from allowing the super spiritual logic to come in, right? So it's really cool to know that it's not about the understanding of the language. It's about letting it seep into your soul. There's tonality and there's powerful mantra influences as I spell out these words that get into a part of the soul that activates really important light to come down into this world. And being that tonight is also the second, you know, there's these 8 days of traditionally called Hanukkah, but they're really lights of creation because this whole month is the month of lights. But tonight is the second aspect, which is Gvura, or what we call boundaries. So the first night was all about grace. The second night is all about boundaries. So I'm going to read a little bit about, I'm going to read a little bit more about this week's energy. And then when I get to the end of it, I will just say I'm signing off, and everyone, you will, you'll just, you know, have a wonderful night from there. Let's see. So, V'chol b'nei de'mehemnuta Yisrael kulhu mitakefin be'ilana d'chaye, kulhu achidin be'ilana mamash, minhon behahu gufa d'be. So it's saying that all those people who are connecting with these words and allowing it to sip into their soul, they're connecting with the tree of life reality, which is beyond the world of rationale. This is funny because I was just talking about that, and this is what it's saying now. I didn't even look at this when I said that, I promise you. I just picked this page. Minhon achidan be'anpin, minhon be'alin, minhon be'sharshin. Now they're saying that just by connecting even with the branch, you end up maintaining a connection just by connecting with the leaf, you'll connect with the branch, and the branch will connect with the root, and then you're connected with the tree of life. So ishtekachu dekulhu achidan be'ilana dechaye, and then you will find yourself kind of like staying on the train. You know, if you're on a train, even if you walk backwards on the train, you end up arriving at your destiny because the train is going to the direction that you had originally intended. That's how powerful intention is. Ve'inun demishtadlin be'oraita, and those who make even the simplest efforts to connect with the light, and you know, when we say the teachings, the word for teachings, or the word for the actual teachings is called Torah, which actually means or, comes from the word light, the teachings of light. Kulhu achidan begufa de'ilana. So he's saying all of the people that make the slightest efforts even to connect with the light, they're already attached to the body of the tree. And the body in the language of the sphere is called Tiferet, which is the balance between sharing and receiving. Ubegin kach man de'ishtadel be'oraita, ihu achid be'kola v'ha ukmua v'itmar. And therefore, whoever makes that effort to connect with the light becomes one with the light. So this is a huge lesson because we talk about connecting with God, but then there's also an aspect called godliness by emulating the positive characters of the Creator, which is sharing, receiving, restriction, balance, going the extra mile, all of those things. You're actually becoming more like God every second and gaining as much power because the emulation by itself connects you. So I'm going to leave with this. Ha ukmuha veitmar. And it says that there's a lot more secrets to this that will be revealed to you on your own time. Have a wonderful night. Good night. Happy holidays. All good things. And God bless.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye, everybody. Good night.